Luke 18, verse 27, I'm going to read from the King James. It says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. So that means anything you can think of that's impossible from a natural standpoint is what? Possible with God. You need to, you know, sometimes at that point, your mind is going to say, yeah, but what about this? You know how we do? We say, yeah, but, you know, but what about this? This doesn't look possible. But he didn't say that. He didn't say everything's possible except these few things. He said all things are possible with God. The New Century Version says God can do things that are not possible for people to do. The Complete Jewish Bible says what is impossible humanly is possible with God. Amen. What we can't make happen, God can do. He can get right in the middle of that and make things happen that we couldn't make happen. Just a familiar scripture, Isaiah 55:8. This is, you know, when we talk about things that are not possible for us to make happen, but it's possible with God. Isaiah 55:8, he said, what? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So the minute you begin to think it's not possible, God has to remind us, yeah, but my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. I'm bigger. I'm greater. I can make that change. And then it goes on and it says, for the heavens, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. A lot of times, you know, if you can think something, just think about it. We have some very broad imaginations, right? I'm not going to say wild, just big. We have big imaginations. If you can think it, God's thoughts are bigger. So you could think something this big and he'd say, my thoughts are bigger than that. And my ways are bigger than that. Positive or negative, right? Then he goes on, verse 11, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not, not might not, it shall not what? Return unto me void. But it what? It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And then we touched on Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom of the arm of the Lord is revealed. Who's it going to be revealed to? Those that believe. Those that accept his report and believe it. And then we've spent some time over these last lessons talking about our thinking, and I was referencing Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, and I like this particular translation in the Good News Translation, talking about how we think. You know, when you talk about God's thoughts, it's what he thinks. His thinking's higher than our thinking. His ways are higher. But I like the Good News Translation. It says in verse 23 of Proverbs 4, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The New Living says it affects everything you do. Your thinking will affect everything you do. In the New Century, I like this also. It says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. So if you start thinking a certain way, it will propel you, it'll move you in a direction, won't it? If you think a certain way, it'll affect the way you act and talk. See? So you can see that. I mean, just look at Numbers. When they sent the 12 spies in, they came back saying something that in God's eyes was what? It was an evil report. 10 of them did. 2 had a faith report, Joshua and Caleb. But the 10 had an evil report. And you can see their thoughts shaped their lives. It shaped how they acted, how they spoke, because they said, we were as grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, how'd they know that? They didn't know that. All they did was they said, we saw giants in the land, we saw this. So they started looking at the impossible and judging it as impossible and not taking the report of the Lord, which said, I've given you the land. Go in and take it. So whatever God has spoken us, either personally or ministry-wise, we need to embrace that report. We need to take it. And regardless of what it looks like, he's well able to bring us to that conclusion, isn't he? He's well able to walk us through that and get there. May not look possible, but it is possible with God, isn't it? You know, this word, when you read this in the King James Version, in verse 23, it says, guard your heart, or it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Take time and just, you know, there are online tools. You can go and look at Strong's Concordance online. That word issues means boundaries. It means extremities or boundaries. So what comes out of your heart sets boundaries in your life. And that's why what should be coming out of our heart is faith. Because then we can do the impossible. You see. So we don't want something to come out that sets a boundary that's against or in conflict with God, do we? Because he said, with men, things are impossible, but not with me. All things are possible. Didn't he say that? Let's go over to Mark chapter 9, and let's look at this. Account here. And of course, you know this story here. It's so important, you know, we're going to face obstacles in life, some greater than others, but it's important to keep faith active, keep meditating in the Word of God, so that when those times come, you'll get through them. But looking at, starting in verse 17, and of course, this is a story here, you know this story here, where this person brought someone with a dumb spirit, and the disciples, you know, he complained because the disciples couldn't deal with it or handle it or cast him out, and then he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus, in verse 21, he asked the Father, how long is it? I'm reading from the King James in verse 21. And he asked his Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Verse 22, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But what does he say? But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. This is the man asking Jesus, have compassion or mercy on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, what did he say? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that what? Believeth. Let me read from some other translations. The New Living, it says, this is what the man's saying to Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus' response was, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if we believe. The New International Version, it says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And again, Jesus responded, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And then, of course, you know, the father cried out, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So you can see here that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, a lot of times placed emphasis or highlighted that the results came about due to their faith. Did he not say that? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. So it wasn't his power, was it? It wasn't prayers, although prayer is important, but prayer isn't what got the answer. Because when you pray, you're going to have to pray in faith. If you speak, you're going to have to speak in faith. So it's important, and the scripture bears this out. We are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk, if you look it up, it means to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. So when we walk by faith, that means that's how I conduct myself. That's how I act. I act in faith. I conduct the affairs of my life in faith. That's what walk by faith means. It's how I conduct myself, you see. So this is just some thoughts that we all know, but it's good to reflect on these. What does it mean to believe? And I have a purpose in sharing this. What does it mean to believe with your heart? What does that mean? It means to believe with your spirit, not your intellect. We cannot believe with our intellect. We cannot. Faith is of the heart. Faith is a product that comes by the word of God, and faith is of the spirit. Faith is of not, it's in, it comes from this inner man. That's where faith comes. It's an inward conviction. It's an assurance. Where? In your spirit. And you know the difference, every one of us sitting in here, because we are brand new creatures in Christ. We know what it means to have an assurance and conviction. Most of us knew that before we were born again. We were convinced of something. We were assured of something. Or some of us would say, I had a gut feeling about that. Right? It's another way of saying it. So our spirits become filled with assurance or conviction as we meditate in the Word of God. That's how we become convinced of something that God has promised. It's the constant, daily meditating on the Word of God, thinking about it, muttering it, talking about it. And over time, you know, I always say this, you don't reach a point of doubt and unbelief overnight. You begin to confess something that you have doubt about something. And so you keep talking about it. You keep talking about it. And then all of a sudden you begin to believe the doubt. And you begin to put power to that. And you put something in motion that's negative. What does Proverbs 18 say? 20 and 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that means that if you keep rehearsing something long enough, over time, you'll eat the fruit of it. So we need to make sure that when there's boundaries in our life, please do not talk about the boundary, the obstacle, the mountain. Talk about how great God is. Talk about His word. It may take some time to come through and through that mountain, but please don't stand there and talk about how big the mountain is, how bad it is, how difficult it is. We can't do this. This is so, the doctor said. Yes, doctors will share things. You know, if there's something going on in your body, you can't say, I don't have that. You're a fool. It's there. But you speak to what's there. You speak to what's there. And you begin to do what? Release the power of God to work in your midst. And what'll happen? Over time, you will eat the fruit of healing. You will eat the fruit of deliverance because faith from your spirit has been released. Amen. I'm saying these things to get a point across. The spirit or the senses believe in what they hear and see and feel. Our spirit man believes what? In the word, regardless of what we see and hear and feel. It doesn't mean that we ignore it, but we are what? Our thoughts are His thoughts, and they're greater and higher than what we see. Because what? We know from the Word of God that we've received. You know, here's something, and I'm sure you've experienced this. Faith, when it's real faith, when it's Bible faith, it will move you. That's the best way I can say it. It will move you to action. Anybody here, you've been moved to do something. Could be something natural, but you're moved to do something. You are convinced and assured. When you are moved to do something, that's real faith. That's Bible faith. That's the God kind of faith. But when you just say, I read that scripture and I believe it, I'm not going to sit here and question you, but when the pressure's on, we'll see. We'll see. Because Bible faith, the God kind of faith, doesn't move, regardless of what they're experiencing. Because God kind of faith is not movable. It won't change because God doesn't change. And if God doesn't change, and I begin to take on His nature, and I begin to take on God's kind of faith, then when I'm confronted with something, I don't move. I'm not movable in my convictions. Everybody understand that? And it helps us to evaluate whether or not we're operating in faith, the God kind of faith, or we're just talking. Because people got a church language. Yeah, I believe. I'm believing. What? Believing what? What does that mean? And I'm here not to question your faith. I'm here to say some things that will help us move in a direction where we grow a little more in faith, grow to the place where we're absolutely convinced. Because think about it. What does it say? What did Jesus say? Let me show you a person who built his house on a rock. He said he dug down deep and put his foundation on a rock. And when the storms and the winds blew, that house did not move. That's the God kind of faith. That when you're confronted with storms and issues, you stand in faith and you don't move. You're not affected by it. So here's something when you think about it. Real faith, the Bible kind of faith, is discernible. Faith can be seen. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. This is a very familiar account. They're in Jesus' town here. I think some of them say it was in his house. And he's teaching. Couldn't get in the house, and what happened? This man who's bedfast had his four friends carry him to the house, try to get in, couldn't get in, right? Couldn't get in the house. But what does it say there? It says the power of the Lord was present to heal. So when they couldn't get in the front door, what did they do? They brought him up on the roof. I think some of us, you know, you can just imagine somebody, if it was digging through this roof here and you got a whole crowd of you, you'd like, what the heck is going on? Can somebody please stop that? Jesus never said, hey, would you stop the commotion? They tore up the roof and let the man down. And actually, what Jesus, it pleased him. So here, look what it said here in verse 20. See, this always is an interesting scripture verse here. It says, and when he saw their faith, this is what we're talking about. Faith, real faith can be seen, and real faith can be heard. So he saw their faith, and he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. How did he see their faith? By what he saw. He saw it. They did what? They broke through the roof to get to where he was. That's why, you know, when you hear all of these stories, I love to read and listen to some of the things that Brother Hagin experienced. I'm sure others have experienced the same thing, but because he taught so much on faith and experienced people that had a lack of faith and those that had faith. He talked about one lady here. I don't have my daily devotional here, but he talked about a lady who came and he taught in this church for a period of 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, a couple times a day. And this lady was there, and he said she finally positioned herself by the door where he was exiting. And she said, well, who's going to have to exercise their faith, me or you? Because she's listening to all of this, right? And she had a cane or whatever, and I guess she needed healing. Who's going to have to use their faith, me or you? He said, so his answer was, well, I have to use my faith, and so do you. And the lady responded and said, well, if I have to use my faith, forget it. And he said she never came back. He said, well, 2 or 3 years later, he went back to that same church. He said he was there for 5 or 6 weeks teaching on faith. And he said this woman was there, sitting on the front row, taking notes. And he said the first opportunity he had to lay hands, this lady jumped up and said, I'm here to get my healing. If you just lay hands on me, I'll receive it. He said, I did, and she did, and walked away healed. But you see, she was what? Persuaded. He could see her faith. Demonstrated. When somebody is so convinced, they're like, I'm here to get mine. You just lay your hands on me and I'll get it. I'll receive it. That's Bible faith. Not hoping and a praying. Everybody understand? Real faith does something. Real faith acts on what it believes. Say that. Real faith, acts on what it believes. Say this. I act on what I believe. Amen. Now let's take a quick look at James chapter 2. It's familiar. Verse 14. Let me check that. I believe that should be it. James 2. James chapter 2. It's either 14 or 17. 14. Yeah, 14. Actually, let me back up here. 14. Yeah. Actually, you can start at 14. It'll be fine. And then I'm going to read from the King James. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? See, that means there's no action. See, you could believe God. What does the scripture say? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's not just believing. There has to be an action. If you don't confess what you believe, you won't be saved. And it goes on, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Again it says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So there has to be an action with your faith. Faith comes, conviction comes, assurance comes. You know, think about this. How many in here are married? How many are willing to admit it? No, I'm sorry. So there's got to be more married than that. But anyways, I'm just kidding. So those that raised their hand or wanted to raise their hand. But just think about this. Those that were persuaded and convinced that that was the person for you to marry, if you never did anything, you could have been convinced, this is the person for me. God has put it in my heart, there for me. And you never did it. You never put some action to it. There'd be no marriage. There'd just be conviction. There'd just be an assurance in your heart. Same thing. Faith alone is dead without works. It's not just being convinced of something. That's faith. That's being persuaded. Then what we were saying, that persuasion, that conviction moves you to do something. You ask the person to marry you. You were moved to do that. And it's the same thing. If we believe that we were healed, you ever hear Brother Hagin say it? He said he saw the light. He saw it. He said, I'm healed. And what did the Lord say to him? He said, well, people are up at this time of the day. He saw it. He was convinced, but he was still paralyzed. What did he say? He was convinced, and he threw his legs over the side of the bed because he was convinced. He acted upon what he believed and what he heard the Lord say. So it was a boundary in his life. It was a restriction. Whose report did he believe? See, this is what we're talking about. The God kind of faith, when it's there, will move us to do something. Not just keep thinking about it. Yeah, I believe. That's good, but what are you doing if you believe? So James, let me read from a couple of other translations. These are translations we probably don't normally read. This is a translation called the WAND, W-A-N-D translation. They won't have this, so I'm just going to read it. James 2, verse 14, it says, what good is it, brethren, if a man asserts that he possesses faith but does not reveal it in his actions? So it's just talk. I got faith. But Jesus saw their faith. He saw it, didn't he? The New English Bible, it says, so with faith, this is verse 17. So with faith, if it does not lead to action, see this, I like the way some of these translations read. It says here, so with faith, if it does not lead to action, it is in itself a lifeless thing. So faith without an action, if it doesn't lead, if your faith doesn't lead to an action, it's lifeless. It won't get results. And you could say, but I'm believing God. And if an action doesn't accompany it, it's lifeless. It's powerless. In verse 26, this is the King James of chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And the Young's literal translation, it says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also the faith apart from the works or action is dead. So just like the spirit apart from the body means you can't live, it's lifeless. So faith apart from an action, it's dead, it's lifeless. Just like the spirit, I mean the body. Amen. This is God's word translation. Verse 26, it says, a body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. Here's a statement to think about, because it gets me to reflect. If you don't believe it enough to act on it, I'm going to say it again. If you don't believe it enough to act on it, then your faith is not a real living faith. If you don't believe your faith enough to act on it, then it's not real Bible faith. It gets quiet, makes you think, doesn't it? Because it's not enough to just say, I believe. It's not enough to say, I'm believing God. Was there an accompanying action with it? If so, great. If not, then it was not real living faith, faith that gets results. Amen. Everybody here, or you say, or like Brother Hagin, say, oh me. Now, when you look at it, just think of the things from the scripture standpoint. Faith that's acted upon, what was the story in Mark 5? The woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus, and she pressed her way into the press. She acted on what she believed. And from that society, she shouldn't have been out. She was unclean. She had an issue of blood. She was in their society, she was unclean. She should have not been out amongst the people. But she was what? Convinced. Just think about it. I heard a story when they were, I saw something recently on, somebody was doing an interview of Reinhard Bonnke. And he was in a church in Nigeria. And he was talking, he said this church had about 12,000 people, which was really small for his crusades, but it was a church. And this lady showed up with a coffin with her husband in it. He'd already been embalmed. He'd been dead for a number of days. They were ready to bury him. And she said, I want to bring him in. She was convinced. And they said, no, 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 you can't do that. No, no. And they refused. And it said, she made a stink. She made a ruckus. Because she said, I just need to bring this body in. I believe he'll be raised. That's conviction, not foolishness. And so they said, okay, you can bring the body in, take the body out of the coffin. We're not letting the coffin in. You can take the body out and bring it down into the basement and lay it on a table. And Reinhard talks about this story. He's upstairs preaching the cross, the blood. He's preaching away. And he said, all of a sudden, there's this big commotion in the church. This body came to life and came upstairs. And it was like Lazarus coming from the dead. And this person had already been embalmed, raised from the dead. So this woman, the story really is, she was convinced. Her faith moved her to action. You see, it wasn't just, well, I'm going to bring this to... No, she was convinced, right? Just like that woman with the issue of blood. How did she get healed? She got healed not by staying in the home. She got out of the house and pressed her way to where Jesus was, right? She believed that what? Something was going to happen. Isn't that true? See, here's another statement. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. What do I mean by that? It has no power. Nada. It's empty. It's just what the scripture said. It's dead. Being alone. Isn't that the truth? Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. So here, let's take a quick look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 35. Hebrews 10, 35. In the King James, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. This is faith, confidence, persuasion. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience or perseverance or endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, But if any man does what? Draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So what does it mean to pull back? It means to quit. It means to cast your confidence away. It means to lay down, to give up. What pleases God? Stepping out. It means stepping ahead, moving forward. Faith doesn't step back, does it? It doesn't draw back. It doesn't do like Peter, who got out of the boat. He's walking on the water. And what happened? He started to look at the impossibleness, the waves and the wind. And what did he do? He started to sink. And so faith doesn't draw back. Faith doesn't give up. Faith or confidence, it's a quality of being what? Certain. You're certain of something. Amen? Hallelujah. And just, you know, again, I'm just looking at the man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5, at the sheep market. Since an angel went down at the certain season into the pool, troubled the water, whosoever first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. He had to act on something, didn't he? So just in reflecting in all of this, in this season that we're in, there's going to be more and more issues that pop up, things happen in our lives, but we are going to have to take time to feed upon the Word of God. Take time that faith comes, but it doesn't just stop there. Once you're convinced about something, see, don't try to figure out how something's going to come to pass. Just be convinced from the Word of God. Let faith come, and God is the one that will bring it to pass. He watches over His Word to perform it, not you. He's the one that brings it to pass. He's the one that opens doors. He's the one that works in our bodies, in our finances, in our family. He's the one that works on hearts, not you. You are just convinced and follow the leading of the Lord. Be moved to action once you're convinced of something. And when we do that, what does the scripture say? What's impossible for us to do, he makes it possible. And how does that come about? Through faith. And faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and acting. Amen? Praise the Lord. You get excited when you hear these things. I do. Because I think about the things where, you know, we reflect on the things where we've had successes, and we reflect on the things where we've not had successes. And you can basically boil down and say, I really wasn't operating in faith there. You have to admit it. Because the scripture's clear. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those things that were impossible are possible with him. How has it become possible with him? It says, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. Praise God. Hope you're getting something. Think about it. Meditate on it. Because our spiritual life depends upon it. Because the successes that we achieve in life, in our spiritual life, is going to come about through what? Walking by faith and not by sight. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for leading us and guiding us into truth. Thank you for your word, which tells us that all things are possible with you. We thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you for it. We give you honor and glory this day for all that is said and done. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.